Well, good morning, church. Sorry we have to end the year this way, but it seemed like the prudent thing to do. I appreciate Doug coming up and leading us in some songs of worship. Very appropriate for this time. I'm going to start a three-part sermon series today entitled Onward, Upward, and Forward. And a lot of it has to do with kind of coming out of the year that we've been in and kind of moving into the hope and the anticipation of the new year. And I want to start by talking about bowling. I took it in college. I was terrible at it. I made a C. Debbie always reminds me that she also took it, and she made an A. So there's always a competition in my house. But Debbie's dad was a fabulous bowler. Actually, training to be on the professional bowler's tour, carried a bowling handicap around 235 at one point, and was just fun to watch, fun to bowl with, just a fun guy in general. But he told me a story one time about a guy who was bowling and had gone through 9 complete frames. And at the end of the 9th frame, he had a perfect game intact. And as he got ready to bowl his final and 10th frame, he picked up his bowling ball, he took off his shoes, and he just walked out of the bowling alley. He couldn't stand the pressure of not knowing whether or not he could have bowled a perfect 300 game. And I think a lot of times that's like our spiritual journey. We want to be perfect in our spiritual journey. And the passage in Matthew that says that we are to be perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect kind of freaks us out, because we look at that word perfect and we go, whoa, I can't do that. And the fact of the matter is we can't. And if you understand the construct of that sentence in Matthew, what Jesus is asking us to do there is to continue to move forward and to continue to make progress towards perfection. We can't ever obtain it, not in this world, not in this life. We can't ever get there. Charlton Heston, one of my favorite actors, and of course the Cecil B. DeMille's version of the Ten Commandments is one of my favorite versions. Disney has to be second. But Charlton Heston was asked one time about the craft and being such a good actor and all the awards and all that kind of stuff. Charlton Heston said, one of the things about acting or painting or writing or composing music is that you never get it exactly right. You can spend a lifetime, and if you're honest with yourself, never once is your work going to be perfect. I think there's some wisdom in that. I think there's some truth in that. As believers, some of us get so discouraged when we mess up. We get so discouraged when the life that we live falls short of what our own expectations are, or what the standard of the scripture is, or the standard of Christ, and it derails us. It sidetracks us. And I want you to be encouraged today, and to a certain extent, I want you to learn the art of getting off of your own back. Jesus understands your frailty. Jesus understands your humanity, and he's not mad at you about that. But he does want you to do better. He wants you to be better. And so I want to encourage you with the words of the Apostle Paul this morning. Paul, in Philippians chapter 3, really kind of talks to us not about being perfectionists, but about our effort and about our grit and about our willingness to stay the course. Steve Coleman wrote a great song based on Psalm 103, and in the construct of the psalm and in the construct of Steve's song, it talks about Jesus picks us up and he dusts us off and he puts us back on the right way. And so follow along as I read Philippians chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 12 through 16. He says, not that I have already obtained all of this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will also make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. And what Paul's saying is, you have already attained Christ, so let us live up to Christ. This is the goal. This is what we move forward towards. And so I want to talk about the coming year and some things that you can do. And I've chosen my words very carefully here, and I've actually crossed out the sermon notes that I gave to Sheila because I don't want to talk about things that you should do or things that you might do, because in the coming year, I want to talk to you about things that you can do. And beyond that, it's going to be entirely up to you. So in 2022, in the coming year, I can allow Jesus access emotionally, intellectually, and spiritually. Paul says, I have not obtained it. I have not already been made perfect, he said. But I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Look at the language here. He says, I haven't obtained it yet. Obtained is a blue-collar word. It's a word that talks about a journey. It's a word that talks about making progress. It's a word that talks about a constant moving forward. I haven't obtained all of this yet. I have not been made perfect. And then later he talks about my perfection comes when I wind up in heaven with Jesus. But in the here and now, in the today, Paul says, I choose to press on. Why? Because he can. This is a choice that he can make. And so he chooses to press on. Most of you remember Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson was an athlete extraordinaire, but he let his own press go to his head. Mike Tyson is famous for some of the following statements. My power is so discombobulatingly devastating that I could feel muscle tissue collapse under my force. It's ludicrous that these mortals even attempt to enter my realm. An interviewer made reference to him being in the same arena as Muhammad Ali and Joe Louis and Jack Johnson. He said, it's interesting that you would put me in a league with those illustrious fighters, but I've proven since my career that I have surpassed them all by far in my popularity. I'm the biggest fighter in history of the sport. If you don't believe me, check the cash register. And so as Mike Tyson continues to believe his own press, the scriptural reality of pride coming before the fall inevitably does. By the year 2003, he had burnt through $300 million, and he was $27 million in debt. He had to file bankruptcy. And his troubles didn't stop there. It went from bad to worse. He was in and out of jail. He had problems with drugs. And if you look at his face and you see the tattoo, you realize that the guy was kind of a royal mess. I think he's kind of cleaned himself up. But when we get to a place where we think that we have arrived, and those are some extreme examples, when we get to a place where we think we've arrived spiritually and we're not choosing to allow Jesus to have access emotionally and spiritually and intellectually in our life, we set ourselves up to not be who Jesus wants us to be. We're not pressing on. We're not working to obtain Christ Jesus, as Paul says. We find in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, that it is by grace given to me, to every one of you. Do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith that God has given you. I hope as this year comes to an end and a new year begins that each one of us will take an opportunity to evaluate whether or not we think more highly of ourselves spiritually than we really should, and whether or not we really have allowed Jesus to have access emotionally and intellectually and spiritually. As I've already said, Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall. Proverbs 8:13, to fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride, I hate arrogance, evil behavior, and perversive speech. Proverbs 11:2, when pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom. Paul's asking for humility. Paul's saying, grinding it out, pressing forward, trying to obtain Christ Jesus is humble. It is wise. It is wisdom. Proverbs 29:23, a man's pride brings him low, but a man of lowly spirit gains honor. Even Peter says, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. What's the lesson? The lesson is, don't get too sold on your spiritual self. In regard to anything you've done in the world, even in regard to your faith, Paul says the right attitude is, I'm not there yet. I got a lot of work to do. And the best way I can do this is I can start worshiping. I can be an authentic worshiper. I can be a prayer. I can be a student of God's word. I can be a servant. I can be obedient. I can be dependent by faith on God the Father. These are the things that we can be. If you don't know how, ask me. Let's sit down and begin this journey together. Talk to Pastor Lance. Talk to Pastor Doug. Talk to Ben. Find somebody who can help you on the journey. We can't do this alone. No significant learning, spiritual or otherwise, occurs outside the context of a significant relationship. No significant learning occurs outside a significant relationship. You need to partner with somebody in the coming year. Let me rephrase that. You can partner with somebody in the coming year to help you on your journey. The other thing that we can do in the coming year is I can ask Jesus to quiet my past. We've all got one. We've all got things in our past that we're ashamed of. Some things in our past are our fault. Some things in our past are a result of things that other people have perpetrated upon us. Some things in our past are way past. Some things in our past happened yesterday. The fact of the matter is that we can move beyond the past. Paul says, I'm not there yet. I haven't obtained it. Even with my grit and my determination, I haven't gotten there. And then he says, I'm going to forget what is behind. I'm going to forget what is behind. And then he uses another grit word, and he says, I'm going to strain towards what's ahead. When we read David's account of his confession of his adultery and his murdering and his lying in Psalm 51, he cries out to God and he says, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions, wash away all of my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. There's some very honest conversation happening in Psalm 51. The most powerful conversation he's having is his faith in God's ability to take away his past. But the other honest conversation is, David goes, my past is always before me. I can't seem to get past my past. My past continues to haunt me. And I'm sure it did for the rest of his life. He committed some big ones. But sin has a way of doing that in our life. Satan also has a way of doing that. The spirits have a way of doing that. Other people have a way of doing that. And all of these would seek to drag us down and haunt us for the rest of our lives. In spite of all of that, we can choose to forge ahead. We can put these things behind us, and we can forget about those things, and we can live in the present. The Apostle Paul says it starts by renewing the mind. And this goes back to point one. This is allowing Jesus access emotionally, spiritually, intellectually, and allowing him to do that for us, to renew the mind. And when we begin the process of renewing the mind in Christ, through Christ, with Christ, then I can have better ability to put my past behind me. Jesus reminds us in Matthew 27 that early in the morning, leading the priests and elders met again, and they laid plans to put Jesus to death. And then they bound him and they led him away and they took him to Pilate, the Roman governor. And when Judas, who had betrayed Jesus, realized that Jesus had been condemned to die, he was filled with remorse. And so he took 30 pieces of silver back to the leading priests and the elders. I have sinned, he declared, for I have betrayed an innocent man. And they responded, what do we care? They retorted, that's your problem. And then Judas threw the silver coins down in the temple and he went out and he hanged himself. I'm a huge believer in Jesus' ability to forgive. I've experienced in my own life. And Judas was so close to Jesus, yet he was so far away from him. He couldn't deal with the sin in his life, and he committed the most egregious act against mankind he possibly can, and that is the taking of one's own life. I believe that God can forgive anybody's past. He's forgiven mine, my way back past and my yesterday past. I know that he can forgive yours. He could have forgiven Judas, but Judas didn't understand enough about Jesus to ask. Jesus didn't know. Jesus didn't have the revelation, oh, I can ask Jesus to forgive me. And so he didn't. We're reminded in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sin, that Jesus is faithful and he's just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. Not some, not part, all. We learn again in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, that when this is the truth, then we can approach the throne of grace with confidence. You don't have to hide from Jesus. The very first solo I ever sang in church choir was a song entitled, You Don't Need To. And the whole concept of the song was, there's no place I can go to hide the things I do, but I don't need to. You see, he loves without demands. He offers guiding hands, and yes, he understands, the songwriter wrote. Let us approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive the mercy that we need and so that we may find the grace to help us in our time of need. With your sin forgiven and with your righteousness restored and your unrighteousness gone, you can claim the faith that is required to live beyond your past. It's available to you. You can choose it. You can receive it. But finally, in the coming year, you and I can choose to advance toward Jesus. Verse 14, Paul says, I press on. Again, that's a grit word. That's a hang in there word. That's a not quitting word. I can press on to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. A couple weeks ago, I talked about living your life with the end in mind and understanding that there is a heaven out there for you someday. And Paul says, this motivates me. Jesus makes heaven a possibility, Jesus makes heaven a reality in my life. And because Jesus makes heaven a reality in my life, I can press on. I can advance towards Jesus. Not to be perfect, but to be obedient. We read in 1 John chapter 3, everyone who has this hope in Christ purifies themselves just as Jesus is pure. John says there's a purification process that has to happen. And it's not out of the scope of who we are or what we know. There's no secret formula. It's about obedience. It's about making a decision. I can be a worshiper. I can be a prayer. I can be a student. I can be a servant. I can practice my faith. I can be obedient. It's not hard. Jesus didn't hide it from us. A lot of football going on this week. One of my dear friends went to the University of Florida, and he was mortified to watch the University of Florida be completely dismantled by UCF, University of Central Florida, this year. UCF is one of the most underappreciated college football teams in the country, and they're almost always really good. But the foundation for that started several years ago with a coach named George O'Leary. In 2013, in the Fiesta Bowl, they burst onto the scene in national prominence because they defeated Baylor in the Fiesta Bowl. And George O'Leary doesn't have really a stellar past. His past is pretty rough, and he made some bad choices, and he got in trouble. But when he got the opportunity to coach University of Central Florida, he was a new man, he was a different man, he was a changed man. And one of the things that kind of took him was his humble approach and his grateful approach to the fact that I can be better every single day. And when people would be asked about Coach O'Leary, they would say things like, He never walked out of the office and said, wow, we've done it. He always walked out of the office and said, what's next? How can we do better? How can we make the program successful? How can we develop and build a culture that says we will be better in the future? It's not about reaching a point, he would say. It's about continued success and pushing forward. Stay humble, play hungry. I think that's great spiritual advice. We should stay humble, but we should play hungry. Jesus wants us to move towards him. He says that, come to me when you're weary. He says, come to me when you're thirsty. He said, come to me when you're in the dark. Come to me when you're hungry. In the year that is to come, you can choose to advance towards Jesus. How do we press on? How do we find the grit? How do we find the can-do spirit to move towards Jesus? I'm not going to lie to you. It's time-consuming. It's going to require a restructuring of the priorities and the way you spend your time in your life. You can't get to Jesus in a haphazard way. There has to be an intentionality and a restructuring. And this is a choice that you can make in the year that is to come. Romans 8:29 says, it is our destiny to become like Christ. And to not move that destiny forward is to simply be disobedient. In the year to come, we can choose obedience. You can experience spiritual growth in 2022. You can. Spiritual perfectionism? No. Spiritual perfectionism, not even a thing. Our only perfection is in Christ and him alone. But spiritual growth is possible. Spiritual maturity is possible. And these can be the goals in your life. I'm not big on New Year's resolutions. I've made a million of them and I've broken them all. But I do think that January 1 is always a great time to reevaluate and to reassess. And so as we move into this new year, I have been praying that you would consider who you can become in Christ in the coming year. If you don't know where to start, I'm available. My calendar is open lots of times, lots of dates, lots of opportunities. If you'll call me, we can start the process. Anyone on staff is here and willing to help you as well. I want you to have a great new year. I want you to have great spiritual growth and success. And I want you to be encouraged by what you can do in the year to come to be a better worshiper, a better studier, a better prayer, a better servant, deeper faith. You can. My prayer for you is that you will. Let's pray together. Father, as we enter this new year, we pray that you would be our greatest priority and our highest goal. I also pray that you would help us get off our own back. I pray that you would help us see what we can do and prioritize in such a way that we can move forward in that process. We're going to need your strength for the grit to press on. We're going to need your strength for a stick-to-itiveness. We're going to need you as our wonderful counselor to help us not get frustrated and not be discouraged. We know all of the things that you can do. I pray that you would reveal to each of us the things that we can do to walk closer to you in this coming year. Be glorified by our life in your great name. Amen and amen. Happy New Year, everybody.